What goes up must come down and maybe back up. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 21st day of September. Thanks, as always, for being with us again today. In other business news, some are saying that commodities are in for a volatile session. Takata airbags are back in the news. More companies are saying goodbye to the office. We'll have an update. There is some danger looming, and all signs point to Washington. The Treasury Department announces sanctions against a cryptocurrency exchange, and we'll share why. We've got the Wall Street Report, and we're talking near beer. For the interview, it's journalist Ty Rushing talking about business, the economy, agriculture, the industry, and his new role at Iowa's Starting Line. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and it is the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. You want to follow us on Twitter. We're there all the time, it seems like. We are at IOB_NewsHour, and this broadcast coming to you once again from Lake Okoboji for the Okoboji Writers Retreat. We're going to be spending 2.5 days here learning how, well, and teaching how to communicate better. Well, it was the worst loss in months, and today Wall Street attempted a comeback. At one time, the Dow was up by over 300 points as investors bought on the dip. But in the final hour of trade, the markets did lose steam. I'll share those numbers with you in just a bit. If you think the stock market has been volatile, the same could be in the future for commodities. Reuters is reporting the Louis Dreyfus Company is saying commodity markets face a period of intense volatility as they grapple with the effects of the pandemic, uncertainty over macroeconomic policy, and supply chain disruption. Continued waves of COVID-19, shipping congestion, and question marks over when the U.S. Federal Reserve will start tapering monetary policy were all fueling volatility. In addition, we are soon moving toward electric vehicles, and that, too, will have an impact on commodity prices. Two words, yeah, you've heard them before. Stay tuned. If you thought you'd heard the last of the Takata airbags, well, hold on. The Associated Press is reporting that over 30 million airbags in more than 200 models from 20 car and truck makers are being investigated by a U.S. safety agency because they have the potential to explode and hurl shrapnel. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said it opened the probe into airbag inflators made from 2011 through 2019 by now bankrupt Takata that were not recalled previously. It wasn't clear what prompted the agency to open the investigation. Last year, it decided against recalling the inflators based largely on industry research and said it would monitor them. Included in the probe are models made by Honda, Fiat, Chrysler, General Motors, Ford, Nissan, Tesla, BMW, Toyota, Jaguar, Land Rover, Daimler Vans, Mitsubishi, Subaru, Mercedes-Benz, Ferrari, McLaren, Porsche, Mazda, Karma, Spartan, Fire vehicles as well. Some of the most popular vehicles in the U.S. are identified in the probe, including certain Chevrolet Silverado pickups from 2014 and 2015, some Jeep Grand Cherokees from 2011 through 2019, and the Honda CR-V from 2012 through 2015. More companies are once again telling their employees it's return to the office attempt 2.0. USA Today is reporting that while many businesses are agonizing over when to bring employees back to their offices during the spike in COVID-19 cases, some have sidestepped the dilemma by simply closing some or all of those offices. The trend foreshadows an office market that will likely be at least somewhat diminished for the longer term, bruising the restaurants, bars, and shops that rely on white-collar workers spending to survive. The shift also could affect the broader economy by increasing defaults on commercial loans and reducing city tax revenue. 66% of organizations surveyed by Gartner late last month are delaying reopening their offices due to COVID-19 variants. The number of employee office visits in 10 large cities recently reached just 31% of their pre-pandemic level in 10 large cities, down from 33% in late August. That's according to Castle Systems, which tracks employee swipes of devices such as key cards. Well, it may very well be a case of brutal self-injury and something that will impact every American. MarketWatch is reporting that economists Mark Zandi and Bernard Yaros from Moody's Analytics say that politicians are playing a dangerous game of brinkmanship with the U.S. government debt limit, which could result in long-term harm for the economy, just as it is struggling to recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. While shutting down the government would not be an immediate threat, defaulting on our obligations would be a catastrophic blow to the economic recovery, is what they write. The report comes as House Democrats are set to vote on legislation to avert a partial government shutdown and raise the U.S. debt ceiling, as Republicans say they will not help raise the borrowing limit. Federal operations are now funded through September 30th, and a bill by the Democrats would keep the government running through December 3rd. At that time, it would extend the debt limit through December 16 of 2022. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has said his party won't support legislation that raises the borrowing limit. The Kentucky Republican argues that since Democrats are pursuing a spending bill without GOP support, President Joe Biden's party should go it alone on the debt limit as well. However, writing an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned that the government won't have enough money to pay all of its bills sometime in October, absent an increase in the debt limit. Yellen warned that default on the country's debts could trigger a spike in interest rates and a steep drop in stock prices, with investors attributing the recent downturn on Wall Street to worries about the debt limit, in addition to concerns about China's embattled property developer Evergrande and anticipation of the Federal Reserve's plans to announce tapering of its monthly bond purchases. Yandy and Yaros write that if lawmakers are unable to increase or suspend the debt limit before the Treasury fails to make a payment, the resulting chaos in financial global markets will be difficult to bear. In other words, we ain't playing games here. Speaking of the Treasury, the department has announced it will sanction a cryptocurrency exchange for its alleged role in laundering ransoms for cyber attacks. It marks the first such action against a virtual currency exchange and comes after a string of cyber attacks crippled several industries and threatened U.S. government agencies. The Treasury said ransomware payments totaled more than $400 million in 2020 alone. That's more than four times that of 2019. The department's Office of Foreign Assets Control will designate the cryptocurrency exchange SUE for allegedly playing a role in facilitating financial transactions for ransomware actors. The department alleges that SUE has facilitated transactions involving illicit proceeds from at least eight ransomware variants. It also said that more than 40% of the company's known transaction history is associated with illicit actors. The new designation means it will be much harder for SUE to do business with U.S. entities. U.S. citizens are generally banned from performing transactions with sanctioned entities, and financial institutions that engage in certain activities with them could themselves face sanctions or enforcement actions. What started out well did not end that way on Wall Street. Turnaround Tuesday turned out to be a dud for equities, with major indexes ending mostly lower after attempting an early bounce from yesterday's rout. The Dow fell by 50 points, or 0.1%, to end at 33,919, after rising by more than 340 points at its session high. S&P 500 closed almost 4 points lower, off by 0.1%, at 43,54, while the NASDAQ held on to a gain of 32 points, or 0.2%, to finish at 14,746. And finally, there is this. We're talking about the resurgence of almost beer. The New Yorker is reporting that until recently, the nation's non-alcoholic beer drinkers have been largely shut out of the past decade's hop-forward craft beer revolution. But no longer. Breweries are increasingly looking to develop non-alcoholic beer businesses, meaning hoppy, biscuity, craft favorites like stouts and IPAs that are often available without the alcohol. Tellingly, annual sales of near beer rose by a third last year, up to $270 million. I know. It's not about the alcohol, it's all about the taste, right? Sort of like I subscribe to Playboy for the articles. Well, stay with us, because in for the interview, it's journalist Ty Rushing as he sheds some light on business, agriculture, journalist journeys, and jobs. Thanks for listening.